opportunity to be here to speak with you today. It's an honor for me. I'm not a preacher by trade, but I love our Lord. And the opportunity to come and worship with you today is a blessing to me and my family. So thank you for that opportunity. Before we get to begin, let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning. God, I pray that the things that we do here today, the songs that we sing, the scriptures that we read, your word, the things that we talk about, will be honoring, glorifying you, Father. God, I just pray that you speak through me. Give me that inner strength to present the thoughts that I've got prepared, and God, that the message of your word is what's heard this morning. God, I thank you for all you do for us. God, I just pray that you're pleased with our service today. It's in your son's holy name. Amen. So I told Joe the other day that what I wanted to talk about this morning comes out of Isaiah chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there to Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll begin reading verse 1. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with one he covered his feet. With two he flew, and one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth full of his glory. The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin coming forth. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. Isaiah was a man that was a good man. He was a man of God. He believed, he had faith, he lived a life that showed that. And yet he lived in a time and among people that had turned from God in major ways. They had struggled with sin. They had turned away from God and had no desire to be the chosen people any longer. God wanted to send a messenger to them, and Isaiah, having seen the glory of our Savior, knew who he was, knew how unworthy he was. And yet, having seen the glory of our Father, he said, Here am I, send me. And he knew he was going into an area that was going to be tough. It was going to be filled with people that would hate him, that would revile him, that would reject everything he had to say. But God had also told him that there were a few that still needed to hear the word, because they would hear, they would see, and their hearts would bend back to God. So Isaiah accepted that challenge. But he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. And he was filled with faith, knowing that God was dwelling inside of him and would help him through that time. So I want to fast forward. That was probably in the 760 B.C. time frame. So I want to fast forward a couple thousand years to the year 2005. I want to relay a little bit of a personal story to you. And I'm gonna try to get through this. There's parts of this that is very difficult for me. It breaks my heart, and just is difficult for me to talk about sometimes because of the things that I experienced. 2005, we're sitting in a small group, members of our church, that would get together and study on non-church days. But we're finishing up, and this little young girl, who has become more like a sister to me over the years, she starts telling us about a trip that she had just recently made to Honduras, and talking to us about all the things that they did in Honduras, the things she experienced, how they would build houses for people who had literally nothing but the ground to sleep on and maybe a piece of tin over them. And when I say they built houses, I'm talking about a 14 by 16 shed, something we would go to Lowe's and buy for our pool tent. But this was a home. It was a mansion for these people. They would pass out food in areas of the mountains outside of Tegucigalpa, where literally people would wonder every day, how am I going to feed my kids today? How am I going to provide for them? They would visit Hospital Escuela, which was a children's hospital. And in that hospital were kids waiting for surgeries who had broken bones because their mother may have remarried, and the new stepdad didn't want to have to take care of kids that were his own. So he would beat the kids in hopes that they would run away. There were kids in burn units that had third-degree burns throughout their bodies because other fathers would set them afire hoping to kill them. There were kids in there suffering from cancer. And they were waiting on these surgeries because they didn't have the money to pay for them, and the hospital would not do these surgeries or these procedures or do anything more than make them comfortable until the parents raised the money and paid the hospital for whatever needed to be done. There were many other things that was done, and at the end of Jen telling us about this trip, she said, I'm getting ready to plan another trip and put it together and build the group and set the schedule. Who wants to go with me? Having sat there and listened to her, my answer was immediate. I want to go. And I told Connie, I said, I'm going on this trip with her. And let me, this is for free, but a side note to this, if you're the spouse of someone, a family member of someone who feels a call from God to do anything, whether it's go to a foreign land, whether it's go across country, whether it's go across town, to do something that they feel compelled to do in God's name, your role is simple. And your role is not to be a roadblock. My wife very easily could have said to me, I don't know, Honduras, that's an awful dangerous place. We don't know much about it. I don't know what you'd be getting into. It wasn't her cup of tea. And she could have said, why don't you just stay here and we'll find something to do here in the States or here in Parkersburg. But she didn't. She looked at me and she said, I think you do need to go. That was the kind of support I needed to be able to follow what God was calling me to do. So if you're a spouse and your husband or wife comes to you and says, this is something God's laid on my heart and it's been tugging at me and I feel really strongly about it, understand your role is to support that. Because anything short of that is telling God, no, you're not going to take my spouse to do your work. Okay? So we went to Honduras that year in 2005, and foolishly, I went thinking, man, I am going to be a blessing to these people in Honduras. They're not going to know what hit them when I show them what I can do for them. I was wrong. I came back a broken man. I came back realizing that I didn't know anything. I didn't know what faith was. Thought I did. Heard it preached about all throughout my life. I didn't know what prayer was. I prayed all the time. But I prayed for stuff that I wanted now. I didn't know what prayer was. I didn't know what struggle was. I didn't know what worrying about providing for my kids today, man, not tomorrow. We'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, today, I've got to feed my kids, and how am I going to do that? I learned a lot about these things. I've been back several times since then, and one of the trips was a huge lesson to me in faith. We walked up to a plot of land that was just outside the city dump, and if you've ever been out to Dry Run Road in Wood County or wherever the dump is here in Washington County, and you drive in and you think, man, that's a bad odor. Glad I don't live close to this. Go to a dump in downtown Tegucigalpa. You'll be thankful for the dumps we have here. Literally fending off turkey vultures that would make our local trophy turkey look like chickpeas. But we drove up, got out of the bus, was getting all the material ready to build a house for this lady. She drops to the ground and starts crying. One of the translators went up to her and started talking to her, what we found out was she had been praying for 12 years for God to send a team to build her a house. To Tegucigalpa, they all know that mission teams come over there and they do these different things. And those that are faithful begin to pray, send me a team, let them build me a house. 12 years, this lady never gave up, lived on that little plot of land with pieces of tin tied together with shoestrings. And that day, because of her faith, because of her faithfulness in prayer, God answered her prayer, and she was grateful. We give up after 12 minutes. This lady had prayed for 12 years. So there was a lot of things. What I want you to hear is this. I'm not telling you this about me. I'm telling you this about how God changes us, how God draws us to places where he needs us, but also where we need to be. Never understood really what being happy was all about. You know, we tie our happiness around things, around what we have, what we provide, where we live, what we do for a job. I've seen people over there have literally nothing with more joy in a day than I would have in a month. They played with their kids. They did what they could to go in and find work to be able to bring home the day's food. The kids played around with each other in what were filthy conditions. But if they had anything that they could use for a toy or play with, that's what they did. I had a little boy one day, we were working in the village he lived in, and he kept trying to get me to come over with him. And one of the things for safety is you don't leave the group to go down the street into another home without two or three other people with you. this little boy kept trying to entice me to come down to his house. Finally, I figured, you know what, I'm twice the size of any Honduran, so I could probably take care of myself. So I'll go on down there and see what it is he wants to show me. I get down there, and he shows me in this little shack that he lived in, his corner that he called his room. Lined up on the ground was, I don't know, 15 to 2 dozen rocks of all different shapes and sizes. Most of them were smooth rocks. Some of them had little paint things on them that he had done with some materials. And he picks up one of these rocks and he gives it to me. He says, I want to share this with you because you shared with us. That kind of joy over what we would consider nothing, to him it was precious to be able to share that with me. I've tried to apply these lessons over the years since those trips to Honduras. I'm nowhere good at it, nowhere even close being good at it or regular with it. But I've learned a lot of things that have brought me further and further in my journey. One of the things that always struck me, and one of the scriptures that we used as part of our motivation and strength for these trips, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'll start reading in verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison? Visit you. And the king will answer them. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Our command is to spread the gospel, his good news. What I want to encourage you to do from today forward is look for those opportunities. Look for those moments, because God will put people in our path who need us to show them who he is. Look for those moments so that you can show them who God is and use those moments to praise him. The one thing I've never seen in Scripture is a command or an instruction. Let's sit down and do a psychological profile and a personality test and see what your goals are and what you would fit into, and then we'll find a job for you. I've never seen that anywhere in Scripture. What God says is, this is the job I need done. Go do it. Whether that's neighbors, coworkers, family members, friends, people you run into at the grocery store or the Walmart or just along the road. If you see a need, remember Matthew 25. If you hear of a need or a want, somebody needs clothing, shelter, help with whatever, step up. Be that person that shows them who God is. Because God put them in your path for a reason. Someone comes up to you and says, and I tell you, I'm really struggling right now. If you get a chance, if you pray for this, what do we usually say? I've been guilty of this more than 1,000 times. What do we usually say? I'm going to pray for you. Walk away. Pray with them right there. Bow your head, pray with them and talk to them about God. Let them know that God loves them, God is with them, and God will help them. Don't let that moment pass by. We don't know what praying with that person in that moment will do to change their life. And we have to live in faith. We have to live in the knowledge of the power of our God and His desire to spread His gospel so that others will get to know Him and seek that relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. Do we really believe that we can step out in God's name and He would allow that to fail? I don't. And I tell you that to say that I don't care who you are, what your lot in life is, what traits and strengths or weaknesses you think you have that would prevent you from doing something in His name. Don't ever take the power away from God to be effective in that moment. He will use you. He will give you the strength. He will give you the words to use. I got to tell you, I was born and raised in the church, and one of my favorite things to do is to lead communion thoughts before we take the Lord's Supper. And every time I'm scheduled to do that, I will spend a week and a half, 2 weeks, thinking through things, figuring out what I want to say, what scripture I want to use, where I want to go with it, what can I do to enhance that time for us in worship. And I have to tell you, over the last couple of years, when I really started to focus on being aware of this, I'll be sitting towards the front row getting ready to get up, and I'm telling you the truth here, every time for the last few years, everything I had planned, everything I had thought through, everything I'd written down on a little note card, gone. I couldn't remember a word of it. Just like that, there'd be something there. That's not me. That is not me. That is God being faithful. That's God showing me, I don't need you to say what you want to say. I need you to say what I need to say. And then provide. And let me tell you this, if you step out in God's name, and we present the gospel to somebody, if they walk away and refuse it, that's not failure. Because once we've presented that to them, their acceptance or denial of that good truth, of that message from God, the invitation into a personal relationship with Him, that's between them and their Creator. We have not failed because we took the command. We said, "Hear my, send me. Help me, Father, to step up in this moment to give your message to this person." That's a win. This morning, I don't know where you are, if there's people in the congregation that have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. If you're in that position, and it's your desire to do that this morning, some of the deacons will be up here to accept you. If there's just anything that you need to get off your chest, that you need prayers for, there'll be somebody up here to accept you, pray for you, so that you can walk out of here having let go of all of that. So that's what God wants us to do. So as we go, we're going to end in a song. Is that right? So as we begin to sing this song, if you have any needs or desires, please make your way up front. exception today. Again, thank you for the opportunity to have this opportunity.